great big Arizona. Good morning to all of our listeners in the great state of Arizona, to Rosie on the house. Of course, here in the 8 o'clock hour, we're always going to be in the garden with John J. Harper. We're here today. We have a big show lined up. I want y'all to stay tuned all Saturday morning because we actually have the man coming in later today. I mean the man, the executive director of the Registrar of Contractors. So you are just not going to want to miss this show as to how you as a homeowner can relate to the Registrar of Contractors office and what their job is to do to protect, educate, and help you every way we can. All right, John Jay, with all that said, where are we going to get going with the landscaping tip?
Well, you know, you have to be licensed to landscape too. So not necessarily the guys that mow and edge your lawn, but if you are doing a landscape project, design, install, putting in, you know, any kind of substantial landscaping, irrigation, then, you know, landscape contractors have a licensing as well. So we want to make sure that you use a licensed landscape contractor as well as when you're doing any home remodeling projects. And the reasons are obvious, but, you know, we still get people all the time that have had somebody that, you know, wasn't licensed, wasn't bonded, wasn't insured, wasn't all of those things, gets a project started, can't finish, doesn't finish, disappears. But they got their deposit. and away they go. So, you know, the reasons are obvious, you know, and maybe even more so, you know, in landscaping, because there's just not much recourse. You know, there's plants that are dead in the ground and, you know, it's start over time.
Yeah, man.
You know, where if, you know, at least if somebody started a project, you might be inconvenienced or torn up, but, you know, the 2x4s aren't going to die that they've installed, you know.
Hopefully there's a box of cabinets somewhere that you have your hands on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, or something, you know. But, you know, if the plants are all dead and, you know, the gravel's the wrong color and, you know, all of that stuff, you're just kind of up the creek. So I think it's, you know, it just ties all together that, you know, you need to make sure you know who you're dealing with. And generally, if you do, why, things go well.
Absolutely. I certainly have, even when they don't, you have an opportunity to visit with them in a professional manner, eyeball to eyeball, and get the job done.
You have a process to go through to rectify the situation.
Okay, now listen, I've only been in Arizona since 1965. Am I crazy, or is this like one of the easiest little Junes we've had in memory?
You shouldn't have said that.
Huh? Did I just ruin it?
That. But, you know, we both walked in together this morning and both went, wow, it's nice out.
It is a very nice morning.
And we went
this morning
to a Little League game Thursday night. You know, it was a night game, you know, I mean, at 7 o'clock or 7:30. It was nice out. Went to the lake the other night, Tuesday night, Wednesday. It was
downright nice on
beautiful
the water.
Beautiful on the water, right. You know, so the mornings, and this is June, folks, and I know everybody, you know, you're still hearing lots of it's hot, and you know what? At noon or 1 o'clock out there in the sun, it's hot. It's June. It's Phoenix in June. But it could be a lot worse, and it probably will get it probably will get that way. But as long as we have these low humidities and it's under 110 and it's 70s in the mornings, you know, take advantage of that. I mean, my geraniums still look good. Stuff's in the gardens hanging in there, but don't be lulled to sleep. Make sure you're checking those irrigation systems, and I'm seeing lots of things shooting straight up in the air and spraying out over the sidewalk, and you know, all that stuff will come back to haunt you if we do have a, you know, a week or two of really, really, really nasty hot weather. So make sure we're taking care of checking into things and not wasting water and making sure that things are working properly.
Now we got to put our heads together and get this monsoon to start. That's the next thing we need.
I heard it yesterday.
An idea or suggestion for it at 602-2775. I'm sorry, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, the universal number for getting in touch with Mr. John J. Harper here in the garden.
I heard the monsoon.
What did you hear?
Cicadas.
Okay.
I heard my first cicada. Was it yesterday or the day before? Anyway, must have been the day before. Day before yesterday. That to me is always an indication that, okay, it's getting close. When the cicadas start buzzing, it may have nothing to do with it. It may be one of those kind of just things, but, you know, growing up here, living here, it just seems like that's, and it probably is kind of a late June occurrence. They start, and it's a few weeks later the monsoon starts, so.
Well, I know they could sure use it up in Yavapai and Coconino County right now in the Dulce Fire.
Yeah, big old rain just falling right on top of Prescott would be good.
That would be very good. We were up there actually the day before the fire started, and we're just commenting on how dry things looked, and that we were hoping we could make it to that first monsoon rain, and didn't quite make it, unfortunately. Yeah. And then you add a 40-mile-an-hour wind on top of that, and boy, the firefighters certainly have their hands full, so our thoughts and prayers are certainly with all the guys and gals up there.
Yeah, if you're going out in the desert or in the mountains and you're going to, you know, be careful. This was apparently their sound, you know, it could be just a rumor, but it was maybe started by target shooters. You know, use some common sense. If you're out in our tinder dry conditions in Arizona these days with 4th of July coming up and I see the booths are going up for the fireworks for sale and that sort of thing, you know, just remember it. It affects a lot of other people.
I believe every national forest in Arizona right now is under stage two. That's smoking only in an enclosed vehicle or inside a building. No fires, no charcoal, no target shooting. No cutting of wood.
So, that doesn't mean people still don't do it.
I know.
So, you know, if you're towing a trailer,
the into chains.
Your
can.
Check your chains. Make sure they're not dragging on the gravel, you know, road. You know, there's just a lot of little things that you need to be careful.
Especially as tender as the desert is right now. So let's make sure your yard isn't as dry and tender as the natural desert around us and the forest as well. Let's all put our minds and shoulders into doing whatever you think you need to do to get the monsoon to move in here. I don't think we see a moisture reading on the radar scale in the next 7 to 10 days as any that I've looked at.
Well, unfortunately, what we do have to have usually for the monsoon to start, and, you know, Ed Phillips can call in and correct me if I'm wrong, but we generally have to have that week of
high
ungodly high temperatures to get that thing to start pumping, you know, the other way and start pumping that moisture up. So as long as it stays really nice and cool in the mornings and we've got that dry kind of westerly flow, it isn't going to help. So we will get it, and the moisture will come. In the meantime, you know, this isn't so much of an issue probably in urban Phoenix, you know, where we kind of in Tucson, but, you know, as you start moving out, last week I was at a relative's down in Patagonia, Sonoyta, and you start getting out in the rural areas, and our folks in central Arizona and northern Arizona, you know, part of landscaping is making sure your landscape is taken care of enough so you don't have, if you interface with the forest, with the desert, with the grasslands, you need a defensible space. Let's get those areas cleared. Let's get them mowed down, you know, that are around your area so that you're safe.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, that doesn't always work, but it's certainly a great place to start. I mean, the Wall of Fire burned right through the whole town of Alpine's defensible belt.
Yeah.
but that was a big monster. That was a big, big monster. So it do everything you can do to clear up that creeping, crawling, low grass situation on your property.
Fire is a basic part of nature. It's just always really just skin crawling. When the Wall of Fire is an abandoned campfire, when the complex fire or the one at Four Peaks last time, someone was shooting tracer rounds that say right on it, extremely flammable. When the Rodeo Chedisky was, you know,
someone
arson
was lost.
And someone was lost. I mean, when it's just
lightning
pure
strike
stupidity.
Starts a fire, I mean, that's just, you know, that's part of life.
It, hard to swallow, but you swallow it.
Yeah.
The rest of them you have to swallow with a lot of anger. Yeah, because between those couple fires you mentioned,
the largest in the state.
We're talking close to a million acres.
Million acres. Yeah.
When does lightning usually strike? Kind of around some rain. You know, it's got a plan here to control itself.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the calls. Bob is called in this morning at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Calling from Peoria. Welcome to the program, Bob.
Hello, Romy. It's me.
The grape guy. I thought it might be.
Yeah, you know what I need to know. I can't get... Now it's stuck in doggone cutter bees are eating my berries too. You know, my leaves on them too now.
Well, the
I can't get rid of them.
Well, the cutter bees are just going to make it a cosmetic problem. They're not going to do any damage to anything other than they might be where they're building their nest might be plugging up a condensate line or you know, or something like that. That's about the only real damage they do is where they actually build the nest is probably plugging something up. They like to find a little hole or a tube.
Yeah, I know. I got them in my handles of my cutters.
Yeah. They find the coolest little places to build their nest. They do make things look like Swiss cheese, roses, berries, bougainvilleas, flowering pears. There's kind of a family of plants that they really seem to like, kind of anything related to roses particularly. But it just looks funny for a while, and there's really not much you can do because she's not eating, chewing, sucking anything on the plant. So.
Well, appreciate the call. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. That was Bob the Grape Guy, who has been battling his grapes in Peoria for probably close to 7 or 8 years now, if I remember right. One day he'll get some squeezed juice out of those grapes and get his finished product.
Don't give up now, right?
I ought to take pictures of our grapevines at the nurseries and send them to him.
It's Rosie on the house.